Welcome to another edition of Talk Nerdy to Me. On this episode, I talked to Lenny and Beto from Real Screeners, and they gave me a pretty good grilling about El Paso Comic Con and all the inner workings of said event. So, with no further ado, I'm going to kick it over to the video.
Okay, thanks for tuning in to another edition of the Real Screeners. And we have again with us Troy from Zia Comics. Thanks for coming back, Troy.
I never went anywhere. I've been here the whole time.
And so for this edition of the Real Screeners, we definitely want to talk to you about the hat you're wearing, but more specifically what it represents, El Paso Comic Con. Now, I find it interesting because you guys, your store, Zia Comics, is based out of Las Cruces, New Mexico, but yet you run the El Paso Comic Con. So we definitely want to talk to you about how you got started and also how are you managing your Comic-Con given the coronavirus situation. So can you tell us how you got started?
Okay, yeah. History lesson. We started Las Cruces Comic-Con back 2012, 2013. I don't remember the exact date. We were vendors when they first opened the store at El Paso Comic-Con. And we loved the idea, and we approached the owner of El Paso Comic-Con, because we weren't always the owners, about him doing a con in Las Cruces, and he pretty much blew us off. I thought, well, then I'll do it. You know, anytime somebody tells you can't do something, it's always the fire that makes you want to do it.
Beto knows that, right?
Yeah. So we did Las Cruces Comic-Con. We did really well with it for a couple years, and you know, a few years down the road, the owner of El Paso Comic-Con posted on Facebook that he said, hey, I'm closing the door. I mean, because El Paso Comic-Con started out, I mean, it started way back in the 80s originally. The owner before us had it. He started in the convention center, and then it kind of progressively went downhill. He went to the Coliseum, and it just started getting – and then he went to, I think, the Wyndham Airport Inn. It just started going lower and lower tier, kind of. At that point, he said, this is no longer financially feasible. I'm closing the doors. I'm locking it up. I'm done. So we contacted him because we'd run two or three successful Las Cruces Comic-Cons by that time and asked him about taking over the con. And we did some negotiations with him, and we got the rights to do an event under the name El Paso Comic-Con because we thought it was very important to have the name of the city in our event, because whenever you do any type of Google searching, you're always going to look for, you'll type in the name of the city and Comic-Con. Even if it's, Mega City Comic-Con, you're going to say, oh, like Orlando Comic-Con, right? Type that in. Mm-hmm. And that turned out really well for us because a lot of people would always type in El Paso and Comic-Con to see what was coming up. So we got the rights from him to do business as El Paso Comic-Con. I don't really want to speak ill of anybody, but he burned a lot of bridges with advertisers and papers and hotels and stuff around town. So we took a whole year after we got the rights to run the event under the name El Paso Comic-Con to try to repair all these relationships around town, and it took a while. I mean, it was a lot of groveling and meetings and
grinding. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, telling them, hey, that was him. This is not us. In the beginning, the first couple years to get anything done, we pretty much had to pay in advance instead of getting net terms. A lot of times you'll get, payment plans or some kind of, the bill is not due until a certain time. We had to pay a lot of that in advance the first few years just because they didn't trust the Comic-Con name because of how it was run before we took over.
Do you mean as far as vendors or and special guests?
That too, but mostly with like advertisers, like newspapers, your magazines, radio, hotels, the convention center. We had a lot of meetings with the convention center. There was a lot of money when he walked away from, there was a lot of money owed to these places from him. But when we had the contract wrote up, we wrote up that we were taking over El Paso Comic-Con, but we assumed none of the debt incurred by the previous owner.
Smart move. Seems fair.
Yeah. And it's fair, but still you have to rebuild that trust with these
people. You were left with a little bit of a mess there that you had to repair.
Yeah, it was a lot of because he burned a lot of bridges, and so we had to rebuild all those bridges. I think
power to you guys for doing that.
And I think we have today. I mean, we could have easily just started up another event and called it Sun City something or another, or
right.
We could have chose any other name, but I think, like I said, that having the name of the city in it is important, not only for the SEO value online, but for people to have pride in that, you know, because El Paso Comic-Con, oh, that's, you know, El Paso, Texas, that's unmistakable. If you look up Sun City Comic-Con, there's a Sun City in Arizona, there's one in Florida, there's one, they're all over the place.
Right.
It's not really descriptive as to where that place is. But if you say El Paso Comic-Con, how many El Pasos are there?
Colorado, but I'm sure they don't. Yeah,
yeah, don't, they don't count. El Paso, Colorado. It also gives people, you know, a little, they can rally behind the name because that's their home city. They love to say, are you from El Paso? Oh, you guys have a really good Comic-Con, right? And that's just other goodwill type stuff on top of the SEO value of having the name in there. Mm-hmm. So we rebuilt all those relationships with all those people. And at this point, I think we have a pretty good standing around El Paso. We pay our bills. We pay all our guests. The previous owner, if you Google El Paso Comic-Con, you might see the previous owner. I guess he didn't pay Michael Bain, and there was a big kerfuffle about that. There were some blow ups.
Aliens fame.
Terminator.
Wait. Terminator. Yeah.
He was in both.
He was in Aliens.
Was he in Aliens?
Yeah, he was. He was in both. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's known for Terminator.
he was Hicks. He was Colonel Hicks in Aliens.
That was Hicks? I thought that was the other guy.
Oh,
Wait
a minute. Sure?
Michael Bean?
No, yeah. Michael Bain wasn't in Aliens, but now you got.
I don't think he was Hicks. I think the guy who died, the guy who was in Twister, wasn't he?
Yeah,
Hicks?
Yeah. I forgot his name.
Yeah.
No. Big that wasn't guy. Hicks.
Hold on.
You're going to make me look it up. Okay.
No, I'm looking it up.
Was something we could look up movies with.
Am I right or am I right?
You are right, Mr. Beto.
It was Bain.
He was Hicks. Yeah, that's Michael Bain. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I stand corrected. Gold star for Beto.
Yeah.
There was
Go ahead.
There was a big issue with him not getting paid. I mean, he actually tried to break into the box office at El Paso Comic before we had it. The previous owner, he wasn't getting paid. There was all kinds of payment issues. Michael J. White, I think, is still looking for the previous owner. And that's not somebody you really want to have mad at you. Michael J. White is a formidable man. So, yeah, nice. We rebuilt all those relationships. And, you know, the first year – and every year the ticket sales have climbed. Even with the past 3 years, they've had an issue at the border where they've closed or restricted border crossing. And we've lost probably 2,000 to 3,000 ticket sales just from people from Juarez not being able to come over.
Right.
Even with that taken into account, the ticket sales have still gone up every year. So, that's great. And this year, you know, we thought we were doing really well, and then the coronavirus hit.
Yeah.
Kind of put a kibosh on everything. A lot of people, in the beginning, everybody wanted us to, you know, everybody was pushing, postpone. I keep trying to tell people this is not like a birthday party. Yeah, I don't say, deal. Tommy's birthday party's not on Thursday now, it's on Saturday. It doesn't work that way. There's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sponsors and vendors, contracts with featured guests and other things that have to be taken into account.
Massive endeavor. Yeah, it's a massive endeavor.
Yeah, so sure. As soon as there was the slightest inkling that, the COVID might be a problem, we started work. I mean, you didn't see, we were feverishly working in the background trying to get all this situated. And the important part is the venue. You know, everybody says, oh, well, you know, don't do it at the convention center. Well, the convention center is actually the best venue in town for something like that. Where else would you go? I mean, they've tried having it at the Coliseum before, and it's not really a good environment for a convention.
Is it the space, the logistics, the aesthetics?
Yes. All the above. Yeah, it's not. It's the layout is not there. You can't put as many vendors in it. The whole thing. The convention center is made for hosting events like this. They have the catering for the, you know, the green room and for the sessions. They have all the pipes and drapes. They have all the rental. Everything you need, the convention center has. That's what the convention center is for, is putting on events like this. So we had to find out when will the venue be available, that's a date far enough away from any possible quarantine dates. The convention center had 2 dates available for us. One was in June and the other was in October. We looked at June and thought that was just way too,
it's risky, too right? Close.
Yeah, I didn't want to have to move the dates twice. You're going to lose a lot of people that way. So we just went ahead and chose the fall date in October.
Here's praying that you don't have to move it twice, sir.
Yeah, I'm hoping it doesn't get stretched into October now, looking at things as they stand.
Yeah, things are so, I don't know.
Fluid, yeah.
Yeah, you know, can I jump in with sure. another question? I'm really curious as to the process that you guys go through to pick or select your special guests and celebrities for EPCon.
A lot of that has to do with their availability. Because these guys, you know, a lot of them are still working. So they're making TVs, TV series, movies. They're also attending other cons. El Paso Comic Con is not the biggest con out there. So if a bigger con comes along, they're going to opt for that one over us because they stand to make more money, which makes sense. And, then, I mean, you have to think about the cost. You have to have a budget for your featured guest. You don't want to overbook and spend more money on guests than what you bring in, or else right. you're going to be a one and done. So, I mean, there's a lot of weighing of different factors of what guests to bring in. And you want to try to hit every genre. You don't want to be too heavy in one space because, you know, then you have the cosplay people saying, oh, you didn't bring anybody cosplay in for us, or the mm-hmm. people who love voice actors say you didn't bring any anime people in, or you didn't bring any horror people in. It's just so many things that weigh into it that they don't realize. And what's funny is online, everybody has an idea of who you should bring in. And every one of them, it's all top list A+ actors.
Sure, yeah.
Who get 6 figures to come to a show. I was like, well, you
Tom
know,
Holland.
Yeah, if I want to do a Tom Holland only show, maybe, but even then that would be kind of stretching it. So, yeah. I mean, I appreciate their passion about who they want to see, but they also need to remember these guys aren't coming. I'll use the birthday thing again. It's not like I'm sending you an invite to, hey, will you come to my birthday party? You know, circle yes or no. It's, will you come? How much do I have to pay you? What's your travel? How many nights are you going to be here? Because we have to pay, you know, all their airline flights, their hotel nights, right. a per diem.
Appearance
plus,
fee.
Yeah, plus an appearance or slash guarantee. So, you know, a $10,000 or $15,000 appearance fee can easily bloom into 20 grand quickly, you know, mm-hmm. plus their reps and any other entourage they may have.
Do you have a committee of people who deliberate on the logistics of your production, or who to try to get as guests, or is it just maybe, I don't know, 2 or 3 people? I mean, how do you sort through all that?
Right now it's just me.
Wow. That's a huge burden on your shoulders, man.
it is, but it's a burden of love. I like doing it. You get to meet a lot of interesting people. Not always good. Sometimes you'll meet the celebrity you thought was so cool and find out that they're really not so cool.
Been there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but yeah, it's a lot, like I said, it's a lot of balancing, trading off. You want to try to hit as many genres as you can to keep everybody interested because it's a pop. It's, the name is Comic-Con, but Comic-Con has morphed into pop culture event basically. So it's not all just about comics and comic artists and everything. You want to hit every genre out there to get the most people in to your event. 2 years ago, I think it was the first year we started bringing in anime voice actors, just because I hadn't had any reach to any of those people. And it brought in such a different demographic, just having anime style people there. It's you don't want to be centered around one single demographic, then it's just going to be kind of boring. I want to appeal to a broader audience and have everybody have one reason that they might want to come.
Well, you know what? You will be my favorite person in the world if one day you could bring, Lana Lang from Smallville, Kristen Crook to El Paso Comic Con. That's me putting my suggestion in your box right there.
A lot of times, we'll actively go out and search for people. But another part of it, a lot of it is recommendations, or their reps will contact us, or actually, sometimes even the celebrities will contact us.
That's pretty cool. That's
So,
neat.
yeah, if you can have, if you have any research, you can always tell her to contact us and we can see about bringing her in for a future event. If it fits into our budget and, we don't already aren't already loaded. Overloaded in that genre, we can probably do
Maybe I will do that.
it.
Speaking of your guests, were you able to bring most, if not all, of the guests to come back in October?
So far, there's only been two who are not able to come back in October because they have prior commitments, but
Okay.
they're not the, no Shatner. I already announced that he is re-signed and he is coming back. Mick Foley's
Okay.
coming back. I haven't announced it yet, but I just got the contract addendum for Michael Rooker, so he's coming back.
All
That's
right,
cool.
okay.
The
That's
other
great
big
for you
one I'm
guys.
waiting on is Ryan Hurst. He has to check a lot of, because these guys are they're still working too. I mean, he's still actively on Walking Dead. He's one of the major characters right now on
Of
Walking
course.
Dead. So we have to. And we had him scheduled for last event, but he got called out to film a different series, which should be coming out soon. So you'll see him on that series. So for the most part, I would say probably about 90% of the original guests we had in April will be coming in October, and maybe we'll be able to add one or two to fill in for the ones who can't make it.
Okay.
With the COVID ID still going on, it's kind of still up in the air. A lot of the reps and the celebrities won't answer yet. They're waiting to see how this all plays out
I
before
know
they
it's so
commit.
volatile, right? Like you're
Yeah.
kind of in a holding pattern, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's very frustrating to say the
It
least.
is. It is.
Yeah, if you know, I mean, obviously, we're not in the same realm as El Paso Comic Con, but I had mentioned in another video that Bethel and I at the high school that we teach at, we have a Comic Con, and this was going to be our second year, and we had high hopes for it. We had a lot of momentum behind it. In fact, we were going to bring a voice actor from Overwatch, and we were going to bring
Nice.
a an actress from Stranger Things. And they had committed to come to our little high school Comic Con, and we were excited about it, and we didn't really officially announce it because we weren't sure what was going to happen. But then they committed pretty much the same day that we were told to cancel it. So
Yeah.
obviously yours is on a larger scale, but I mean, to an extent, we can kind of feel your pain on that because we were so excited for everyone.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure how your guys's works, but the school probably lets you use the venue, right?
Right, right. No charge. Yeah, of course. Yeah, no charge.
Yeah. The convention center doesn't do that for free.
Yeah, of course.
The convention center gets paid very well for hosting our event, trust me. And yeah. Every little thing that you get from the convention center, you pay for. If they could find a way to charge you for air, they probably would.
I mean, this is non-COVID air.
Every pipe, every drape, every chair, every table, microphone, everything that they provide has a charge. And then on top of that charge, you have to use their people for the setup. So, you know, you have AV techs, mm-hmm. you have the setup people, you have catering, and you can't bring in outside catering. It has to be through them.
Wow.
So the convention center fee alone is astronomical. So,
well, you know, Troy, kudos to you for being a one-man army and being able to make all this happen.
Yeah.
And, I have a few people that help me, but I don't think they want me to mention their names. So
Okay.
But I mean, for the most honestly, part, it's me.
Yeah, I mean, for us, it was a lot of work to put on a high school con. So we can only imagine what it's like to put a citywide con on.
Oh, yeah. And then you've got contracts with hotels and everything else. This right here is my Bible for the October.
There you go.
That's where I keep all the contracts and everything. It's sitting right by my computer. Every contract, and I don't know if you guys do that or not, but you need to keep every contract you have available in case somebody mm-hmm. questions something at the event. You have it right there. You can pull up the contract and say, hey, and right here you signed. It says you're
right. Section 3A line
and four. We've run into that problem more than once with a guest saying that, you know, we're not going to do that. So, well, you signed up to do this. And then they give in because it's on paper. And
Sure.
But, yeah, and the same thing with you guys don't have a venue contract because the high school lets you do that. But you want to keep any contract you have, you want to have on hand in case you need to enforce any of the things that are written in that contract.
Right. So these are obviously the stressful points of running a Comic-Con. Can you talk about what you enjoy about the whole experience or what you can bring to attendees?
Read my mind.
What I like about it is this is something I enjoy anyway, pop culture, and to be able to share it with others and see their enjoyment of it. We try to give you a big bang for your buck. We want you to come in and have something to do all day. We don't want to be just a merchant's hall where you come in and we just have vendors for you to buy stuff.
Right.
You got to get them in the door. That's the easy part. You want to keep them inside once they've crossed over that door. You want them to have something to do throughout the day somewhere in that venue that you have. And just watching the people enjoying themselves and hearing them talk about it later, you know, they post the pictures up on Instagram or whatever of the good time they had or the pictures they took with whatever celebrity. That's what really makes it worth it.
Mm-hmm. And what I like about it is, you know, every year, of course, you have your regulars, but then you have these people who have never been to a con before or maybe aren't familiar with the genres, and then you're creating new fans. You know, and you're giving them new experiences, right?
Oh, yeah. Every year we get somebody's like, oh, we didn't know El Paso had a Comic-Con. It's like, well, we've had it for – no, we have owned it for at least 5 or 6 years. And we advertise extensively in the malls and paper, on billboards, on radio. So, I mean, if you don't know about it, you must be living under, you know, just like that
commercial,
that Geico commercial. You're living under a rock somewhere.
Yeah, I remember going down the freeway and always seeing that big, giant billboard.
There's always people that, unless you walk up and knock on their door and hand them a flyer, they're going to tell you they didn't know about it. Every time. I'll guarantee it.
So you've been doing this, obviously, for a while. What are some cool stories, some behind-the-scenes stories or experiences you can relate to the viewers?
Like I said, there's some celebrities you'll meet and you'll get your heart broken. You'll be disappointed in how they actually are with people. But for every one of those, there's another one that you meet and you're like, oh my God, this person is so much cooler than I could have ever imagined.
Imagine.
Yeah. Like David Zayas, if you know him from Dexter, he was also on Gotham. He was Falcone, I think.
Okay.
He was on the Red Dawn remake. That guy is, and he has history in this area. He was actually stationed at Holloman Air Force Base.
Oh, neat.
Coolest guy in the world, man. We brought him into Las Cruces Comic Con. And after the con on Sunday, he's a big, I believe it was a New York Giants fan. So you guys would get along. He went over to the game bar here in Las Cruces and sat down at the bar and watched the Giants game. No one recognized him. Not one person. Hmm. But just talking with him, like I said, he was the coolest man you could ever meet. Nicest guy. There's been several like that. And then there's other ones that you're like, man, I hope he never gets another job. This guy is a literal piece of garbage, and I don't ever want to see him.
Some of these celebrities are stuck up and arrogant. Yeah.
They're very condescending is probably a better word.
Right.
They believe that you are a lower class. And, you know, I don't, whenever I go to the cons, I don't wear anything to, that would let you know who I am. I just dress normal.
Right.
And so my first interaction with these people is always the key that I can see how they will treat other people. And some of them, you know, they'll just be so arrogant and condescending. And then I get the rub in their face later when I tell them who I actually am, when they see me in the green room.
Yeah.
And they have to eat a little crow, but for the most part, I would say probably 80% of them are very cool and very down to earth. And they're just normal people like us. This is their job. A lot of them, if they're not working currently on a show, they do cons almost every weekend or every other weekend. So that's how they're paying their bills. Mm-hmm. And people need to realize, you know, oh, they ask, well, why do I have to, you know, I paid to get in. Why am I paying to get their autograph? So that's just how it is. Otherwise, your ticket to get in would be a whole lot more.
Right, right. Yeah, and you know, they have to – it's part of the circuit, right? Like they have to – they perform, and this is part of their revenue for their income, excuse me.
Yeah.
I can't help but notice that you have Kevin Smith in your background. Any right chance there? He might come to El Paso Comic Con?
I've spoken with him. He doesn't do cons per se anymore.
Okay.
He only does speaking engagements, and
okay,
he gets paid very well for a couple hour speaking engagement.
Okay.
We've toyed with the idea. I've been trying to get the city to buy in, to bring him into like the Chavez Center on a Saturday night or something. They would make their money back easily. Just on tickets for people to listen to him in the Chavez Center.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't bitten yet, but you know, every year the venue gives up a little more in what they'll do for us. So we've been pushing for, you know, them to have something in the Chavez Center, concurrent with the con that we don't have to pay for. That's just another thing I don't want to have to be in control of and to take, you know, let them do that.
Right.
Let them make some money off of it. We've also been trying to get them to put something up on the plaza area there, you know, on the entry going into the convention center. Kind of like, I don't know if you've gone to the beer fest or the ice cream socials they do there in downtown.
Beto, didn't you go to that ice cream social that they had?
With your sister, yeah. Maybe?
Yeah, yeah, where they kind of fence off the whole plaza, and then they have actual vendors and stuff on there. I don't know if you guys go to Phoenix Comic Con, but a year or so ago they had in between the convention center on the street, they had a beer garden with food trucks everywhere, and it was amazing. And I've been trying to talk them into doing something like that. And they, every year, like I said, I rode them a little bit at a time. They slowly give in to little things, to where last year they opened up the food area on the outside of the convention center. I can't remember what it's called, but between the Chavez Center and the convention center there, they actually opened that up for people. and allowed them to bring that food inside. I'm trying to get them now to do a full blown thing, maybe 2021, on the plaza where they can be in charge of it. They can sell the booth space out there and have whatever vendors they want on the outside, maybe even a kids play area with blow up stuff. Or, I mean, it's enough for me to run the convention that's going on inside the convention center. I don't want an additional headache of having to run the stuff outside or over in the Abraham Chavez Center. I want them to take control of that.
Okay.
So maybe in the future.
Do you see yourself doing a lot more Comic-Cons?
You mean a lot more El Paso Comic-Cons or Comic-Cons as in different locations?
Both?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I plan on doing El Paso Comic-Con as long as it's feasible. It has to turn a profit or else it's just not worth the ROI. We put a lot of work into setting this up and getting it done each year just for that one. We had plans to do Las Cruces Comic-Con in 2020, but with COVID pushing El Paso to basically our Las Cruces Comic-Con dates, that's not going to happen in 2020. And we're going to have to revisit that in 2021 to see if we're even going to do another Las Cruces one. The Las Cruces event barely broke even every year.
Okay.
And that's just because it's a smaller city. And I mean, you're still paying big venue prices for the convention center.
Sure. Yeah.
And in the beginning, we did it as basically as another thing we did as an extension of Zia Comics to try to bring more notoriety to the business. But, you know, that's an awful lot of work for zero outcome. So, you know, we're going to have to revisit that and see. It might be more beneficial for us to concentrate more of our efforts into making El Paso bigger and better.
Do you have a goal as far as EPCon is concerned, like a dream?
That millions and millions.
Millions and millions.
I mean, when we first spoke with the venue, I told them El Paso's downtown is laid out very similar to like a San Diego. I don't know if you guys are on a San Diego Comic-Con.
But you have one of my dreams.
Once.
It's everybody should go once. It's kind of like a mecca.
Beth and I have been trying lately and we can't get in, but I was lucky one year.
Well, talk to me offline.
That's so frustrating.
I might be able to make it happen. El Paso's downtown is laid out similar because you got, you know, the ballpark next door. You have a bunch of little businesses around there, restaurants and bars and what have you. Very similar to how San Diego is laid out downtown. And the way I tried to sell it to the venue was I want El Paso Comic-Con to not just be contained in the convention center. I want it to be I want the whole downtown to embrace that weekend as Comic-Con, like San Diego does. And they do very well doing it. And, you know, it's been hard getting they've been rebuilding a lot of downtown with the two new hotels that are going in down there. I don't know if you guys have seen those yet. That's probably going to help quite a bit. They gave us a little behind the scenes tour of both of them, and they are going to be amazing. These are like top notch hotels.
Nice.
Yeah. And to be able to have like after party events in these hotel ballrooms, similar to how they do in San Diego. Mm-hmm. San Diego, the two or three hotels that are situated right there in the marina around the convention center, one of them hosts Xbox. They have the whole gaming thing. One of them has another. It's just, like I said, the whole downtown embraces Comic-Con weekend. There's no reason why El Paso can't do that. And I've been talking with the DMD there in El Paso. I always get El Paso and Las Cruces nomenclatures mixed up. Here's DLCP. I think it's DMD in El Paso.
Okay.
About trying to get all the business down there to do something Comic-Con themed. that, you know, we had a few people on board and it kind of got derailed this year because of Corona. So we're going to push it again heavy in 2021. We're trying to work with the trolley to get, you know, a cosplay trolley ride during Comic-Con, maybe a bar crawl, a cosplay bar crawl.
These are all really good ideas.
Yeah, with the hotels opening up, you know, they're going to have ballrooms that they're going to want to make money off of. They want to make money off of every square foot they have. So we're talking to them about having some kind of events hosted there. We're really trying to pull all, even with the museums, trying to get, you know, the art museum to do a pop culture or comic book themed art exhibit during that
week.
That'd
be super cool. That'd be so cool.
Yeah, it's just, there's a stigma about Comic-Con. A lot of people who have never been to one, they don't understand what it is.
Right.
I think it's only, that's just where everybody goes and dresses up weird.
No, right, right.
People of every age demographic go and they spend tons of money. You guys are missing out.
Yeah, they think it's like a freaks and geeks thing. Well,
yeah, you know, like it's a lot of education. We got to educate the downtown vendors into how they can capitalize on this event. Because go ahead.
If you don't like a Comic-Con, I don't think you had a childhood.
Well, or I mean, you don't know what a Comic-Con is. When I was trying to, I don't want to throw people under the bus, but we in Las Cruces, you know, at one point we were trying to get city funding for the Comic-Con. They try to get some help, and I met with, I won't say exactly which city official, but it was a pretty high up city official about the Comic-Con. And the first question was, so you guys bring in a whole bunch of stand-up comedians? Is that what this is?
Oh, wow.
People so are so misinformed.
Yeah, so I was like, yeah, I can tell right now this meeting is not going to go well.
Wow.
And it didn't. But, yeah, there's an education of people need to understand what a Comic-Con is, what it means to the community, and how they can I don't want to say capitalize on it, but how they can use it to their advantage. These businesses, like if you ever go to San Diego or Phoenix or Emerald City, any of those big ones, the whole area, you know, about a mile radius around that convention center has something to do with Comic-Con going on. Mm-hmm. And they make a ton of money during that week off of
what's up.
Yeah. Comic-Con attendees. So it's just a lot of education. So if you hear anybody, hear anybody saying anything that they don't understand it, educate them. Tell them what it is. Right.
How many Comic-Cons do you go to annually?
Annually? I try to go to as many as I can because I go there and it's kind of like you go to get their best practices. You find out what they're doing that you think would work well for you. Or you see what they're doing that just blew up horribly for them, so you don't do it. So we go to, I couldn't even tell you, probably 10 or more a year just to see, you know, what they're doing. And we'll look at what they're doing and say, oh, that's a great idea. We should incorporate that. Or, oh, man, that's, you know, that's no good. We're not going to ever try that. So, like I said, you go around and it's no new ideas. You're just looking at other people's ideas and trying to make them work for your event.
Okay. Do you always go as a vendor or do you maybe sometimes go just
in casual? The beginning, when we first opened the store, we mostly went as vendors, but now we just go as attendees or as media.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of times you can get media passes to get in, and you get a little more access than the normal person to do interviews and stuff. Because I also do an article for the El Paso Herald Post, and and plus I put it up on my site at Zia Comics, and you know it's pop culture interest type stuff. People, you know, they want to see you talking to Stan Sakai or whoever else you might run across to do an interview with. But while you're there, you know, you're looking around at how they're running different things and you're like, I like that idea. That idea is dumb. I'm going to steal this.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely a lot of ideas to go around, and you definitely want to share, right? I mean,
Oh,
because
definitely.
again, it goes back to what you say about educating the masses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
Okay.
and I try to be pretty transparent on how we run things. I don't really hide anything. There are certain things I can't tell you. I can't tell you contract specifics, for celebrities. That's just
For
a thing.
sure, yeah.
But for the most part, I don't hide what we're doing or why we're doing it. And but you're still gonna get people who get butt hurt because you didn't bring in Chris Hemsworth for them to see at the con.
Yeah. So for people who want to, I guess, become an exhibitor at your con or want to be a featured cosplayer, I mean, what do they have to do to make that happen?
Well, as an exhibitor is or a vendor, you just those are kind of first come, first serve. We're not big enough yet where we can jury people,
Okay.
say, oh, you have to submit your work to us and then we'll see if we approve. We're not that big yet. So if there's a space available, what we do different than most cons you just go into a pool. For a booth space, and then they assign you where they want you. Well, we put the spaces up there, and you get to pick your space, and you can buy that specific space. So you can go and look and see who's around you, and you're like, oh, well, I don't get along with this person, or this person's product is too similar to mine, so I'm going to get this booth over here instead. So you get to pick your own booth, and it gets away from a lot of complaining because no matter what, if you are signing the booths yourself, people are going to complain no matter what. Oh, well, I do better on an end cap, or I do better in the
Right.
middle, or I do better over here. So if they pick their own, you say, hey, you pick this booth. you can't complain to me.
Right.
That's smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little more work, but it alleviates a lot of headache later. So, a vendor, as long as there's a spot available, and you have the money, you can purchase that booth. That being said, we're working with a new company now that is going to be able to take payments for tickets and booth space. So instead of paying it all at once, you'll be able to set up a kind of like a layaway. So you can put your booth
Okay.
space or your VIP ticket on a layaway with a six payment plan
Okay.
that does not like Ticketmaster where you have to get approved for credit to do it. It will be paid directly to them. And so if you have the money or your credit card, you as long as you can pay them, you make your payment, you'll get that spot when it's or that ticket when the payments are done. Now, as far as
Okay.
you said cosplayers,
Right.
are you talking about featured guest and cosplayers or just cosplayers in specific?
I would just say just cosplayers specifically, because I can imagine the featured guest. You do, contract talks, and you just build out a space for them, right? So.
Yes. Some cosplayers, the bigger name ones, you actually do the same. They're just like a featured guest. You need to
Okay.
pay them their travel and everything else. The big names, people like their household names like Yaya Han or Ivy Doom Kitty, people like that, they're people recognized by name. The other ones who are just cosplayers, I don't want to say that they're less than, but they're not household names. A lot of times you will just basically comp them the space. You say, I'll give you the booth if you come set up. And I
Okay.
do that on a contract too. I don't do anything on handshakes. It's pretty much got to be by contract. And that's to protect us and them. So, if there's any kind of disagreement, we can say, here's what was in writing. It might be, I promised something that I forgot, or, they promised something they forgot. Either way, it's in writing, it's indisputable if it's on a contract. With cosplayers who are not a household name, you're usually better off to use someone who is local. And luckily, El Paso has a very strong cosplay community. There are a ton of cosplayers around here who are really very, very good, and they are open to doing it just for the booth space, because, you know, they can go home every night. They don't have to worry about a hotel. They don't have to worry about
right
per diems and things like that. And but you have to, I look at it like this, every space that I give somebody for free is money that I am not making on selling that space. So that person has to be worth that value of that booth space in my mind.
Right.
Will they bring in people? Will they engage people who are there to entertain them? I mean, there's a lot of different things you have to look at if they are worth that booth space amount.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's just something, it's a lot of personal weighing you have to do of if it's worth it.
Right. Yeah, again, just more thinking added to your list of a million things for you to consider for sure.
You know, I thought I'd be interested to know, is throughout your years of doing this, is there a specific niche that attracts El Pasoans, or a specific genre, or a specific type of a celebrity? What do El Pasoans gravitate more towards?
Well, we brought in Jason David Frank twice. But if you listen online, people would tell you we bring him in every year. You can't satisfy people. They're like, oh, you always bring in Jason David Frank. We brought him in twice out of, you know, 6 years.
Yeah, you're not
going to
please everybody. Yeah. You're not going to please. Yeah.
And then you got the other people like, oh my God, will you bring him in again? So, you know, you can't keep everybody happy, but, you know, they love their Power Rangers. We brought in Jason David Frank. Steve Cardenas, I think, has been twice. We're bringing in David Yost this year, the Blue Power Ranger. So, mm-hmm. you know, they love their Power Rangers, but that's worldwide. Everybody loves their Power Rangers. Something specific to El Paso, I would have to say they're very much into their horror genre. They love their slashers and zombies and Walking Dead type stuff. And
that's right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the connection with Roddenberry or if it's just the popularity of Star Trek, but they really, every time we brought anybody Star Trek related, they've done really well also.
Huh, that's interesting, because I don't know a lot of Trekkies, but I do know a lot of people who love like hardcore rock music, so I can definitely see why they would like some of those horror actors coming in.
Yeah, and you know, people have been pushed. Last year, I think, was the first year we brought any wrestling people in. And like, it's not that we were avoiding the wrestling genre, we just didn't have a connection to any of those guests with their reps. Mm-hmm. And last year we brought in, you know, Jake the Snake and Vicky Guerrero. And Vicky Guerrero has local ties also. And they did really well. So this year we're bringing in more wrestling. You know, if it works, we're going to keep doing it.
Right.
So we went after Mick Foley and got him. And we had Brutus the Barber Beefcake and Greg Valentine.
I remember him. Yeah.
Before the virus. And they both said that they want to come in October. I'm still waiting on those contracts. So we are 99% sure that those guys will be. Mick Foley already signed again. So
okay, awesome.
You know, so people, everybody loves their wrestling. Like I said, the slashers. People have been asking us about, you know, live, you know, the actual people from bands coming. And I know in Albuquerque they've done it, and a couple other places they brought in. You know, like the lead guitarist for somebody, whoever, for Pantera or whatever, will be have a booth. I don't have any connection to those people. I'm not opposed to it, but I'm not going to actively search them out, because every con I've been to, those people never have a line. Nobody is ever waiting to see those people.
I see. Okay.
So,
okay.
I mean, I'm not opposed to it. If the numbers work and it fits in our budget and I have a booth space available, I might try it.
Let's do it. Yeah.
But other than that, El Paso is big on their horror, their slashers. They love their spooky stuff.
Cool.
All right. Well, I can't think of anything else.
This is like a profile on Troy and Comic-Con. So
that's great though, because I mean, Troy, have you gotten a lot of interviews that are lengthy about El Paso Comic Con?
You mean people interviewing me or me interviewing people?
Are people interviewing you about El Paso Comic Con?
Not really. First year, we had a documentary crew follow us around from UTEP. They actually made a documentary about us rebuilding El Paso Comic Con. It was actually not a bad documentary if you can look it up. I can't remember. I think the guy's name is Victor Mendez. It might even be on YouTube somewhere if you look up El Paso Comic Con documentary. Because that first year, like I said, we had zero sponsors. Everything was out of our own pocket. Everything was a gamble. I mean, we put up all of our life savings. The house was on the line. Everything to try to make this work because we really believed in it.
Wow. Okay.
And but then that first day opening, everybody told us, you know, oh, the El Paso Comic Con, people were lined up on the plaza to buy tickets. And on Saturday, you know, at opening, I looked out and there was like five people out there. And you want to talk about a heart stopping moment? I was like,
right.
Yeah, I'm never going to retire. I'm going to lose my house. But after that, it was a steady line throughout the whole day. It was just even up to like an hour before closing, people were still standing in line. So excellent. El Paso supports it, and I thank El Paso for doing that. And as long as you guys keep supporting us, we'll keep trying to give you the best product that we possibly can.
And I know personally, I love going to comic cons when I can. So I appreciate that too, because we definitely need a con in every major city, and El Paso is a major city. So we appreciate you guys putting that on for us. Yeah, definitely look forward to seeing you guys in October.
Well, I try to tell everybody El Paso is the 19th largest city in the U.S. A lot of people don't realize that.
That's right.
It's a really big city. It's bigger than Albuquerque. So there's no reason why we can't eventually hit Albuquerque attendance numbers. Mm-hmm. Like I said, if you guys know anybody who wants to be a sponsor of El Paso Comic Con, have them contact me. I'll take your money. Even if you want to support just specific things, you can support the costume contest. You can support you can support a specific panel room. It doesn't matter. I think this year I can actually release it because we had them on contract. We're working with Telemundo. We tried to get an actual Telemundo actor into the event. We were not, due to the virus, we weren't able to do that. Mm-hmm. But Telemundo will have a presence there, and we're going to work with them for 2021 to try to bridge that gap between us and Juarez and all the majority Spanish-speaking people to bring in something that they want to see. Because, you know, if you watch your telenovelas, you don't care two craps about Supernatural. But if I bring in somebody that you want to see, that's a whole nother demographic.
Sure, that you're bringing in.
And not just bringing in, but then they get exposed to these other genres. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of bleed over that they might not have realized that they liked Supernatural until they come and see something like that. Mm-hmm. So like that, and that's why it's important to try to cover every genre instead of focusing on just one.
Sure, that's smart, yeah. Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, Troy, can you tell everyone where to find El Paso Comic Con?
ElPasoComicCon.com is two C's, you know, C-O-M-I-C-C-O-N. Okay. I try to update that as much as possible. If not, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We have a newsletter, and a lot of times we'll release stuff in the newsletter before it gets released to the rest of the social media. So it might be, if you're one of those people that likes to have the news as soon as it breaks, you might want to subscribe to the newsletter. So,
excellent idea.
Yeah, tickets are sold through Ticketmaster. We're working on that. We don't have a choice. We have to use Ticketmaster because of the venue.
All right. And just really quickly, you do more than just El Paso Comic Con. You guys, again, own Zia Comics out of Las Cruces, and you have your own YouTube channel. Can we find out where to find that as well?
Zia Comics, like you said, it's in Las Cruces, New Mexico, just a short drive up I-10 there. We have a 8,000-square-foot store, lots of pop culture goodness, as soon as we're allowed to open again.
Right, right.
The YouTube is going to be YouTube/ZiaComics. We put so much stuff on there. It just is such varied stuff, everything from how to play games to unboxings. I think the last thing we unboxed a Yum box the other day and tasted all the food in it. So just anything that we think is cool, we'll make a video for it and put it up.
Yeah, I have a photo at your store actually that I really like. My friend Tracy took it, and you have a Marty McFly cap that you sell from Back to the Future 2. It's the very colorful,
the multicolored one. Yeah,
the multicolored one, and I just wore it, and
is it from the actual movie or is it a replica?
Oh, it's a replica. Oh, okay. Yeah, if it was from the actual movie, nobody would be able to put it. It'd be under lock and key.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But we do have, I don't know if you went all the way in the back, we have the whole the section with my cosplay stuff in it that's all locked up where people can't reach it. Like, I have a full Ghostbusters outfit.
I've seen you wear it. It's awesome.
Yeah, there's a Krampus outfit. I'm working on a Boba Fett at the moment. I'm working on finishing the jetpack now. So I'm hoping within the next year I can have the Boba Fett done and certified by the 501st. So and those are all behind glass displays for people to come and take pictures with. And we have stuff all over the place.
Security lasers.
Yeah, almost. If they weren't so expensive, I would. But all kinds of little geeky stuff to take pictures with everywhere. We have an arcade in the back. You can come play some games.
All right. So geekdom everywhere, guys. Just because the coronavirus has quarantined us in our houses doesn't mean that you still can't eventually, once it's over, go find some geek stuff. You can go online when you're doing nothing at home right now and go find all of these cool things to look at and explore. And Beto, would you be so kind as to maybe give us a send-off, sir?
Absolutely, sir. Well, thank you once again, Troy, for sharing your memories down EPCon Lane. We learned a lot, and we hope that you guys found it interesting. As always, leave a comment down below if you have any questions.
Subscribe.
Don't forget to subscribe. Absolutely. Subscribe to Real Screeners and to Zia Comics as well. Yep. Right. And we're on Facebook, as always, and Instagram at Real Screeners and real.screeners on Instagram. And tune in next time for...
more real takes on everything.
On everything now. We're branching out.
That's right.
Get nerdy with me. Tell me what game that you get on. Is it COD or Eve? What kind of class do you play, girl? In an RPG.